Hi, you're with Truth News Radio Australia on the 14th of March 2014. My name is Hereward Fenton. Welcome. It's a great pleasure to have you on board, and we are going to be cruising through some stormy weather tonight. Indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be exploring a number of Australian-related stories in the first hour, and I'm going to be joined by my producer, Leah Shanley. We're going to reflect and somewhat marvel at the most bizarre and really almost incredible things that are taking place all around us. And I'm being slightly ironic in my tone, because really these are not great things. These are incredible by virtue of their dysfunctionality, of their criminality, of the degree of lying and deception and aberrant behavior that we're seeing more and more becoming somewhat normalized, somewhat accepted, to the point that it's hardly talked about as an emergency, whereas it should be seen as an emergency. To give you an example of some of the things we'll be chatting about in the first hour, I'm going to be talking about the Salvation Army renting out young boys in their care. Salvation Army, a charity, a Christian organization, renting out young boys in their care to pedophiles for money. I'm going to be revisiting the scandal over the Australian Federal Police and the illegal and utterly criminal behaviour in the raids of lawyers representing Mercedes Corby and Channel 7 and the officers of Channel 7, to reflect upon what this means for our society, to reflect upon it and to maybe try and stimulate some discussion, some desire among our listeners to think that maybe now's the time that we really do have to get out and do something. I'm not exactly sure what we can do, but there are a variety of ways that a person can become active. And I might discuss some of those things with Leah when she comes on. I'm going to be talking about another pedophile scandal, which was covered on the ABC recently, and this is one that I had talked about on the show before, which is the global pedophile ring that led to the arrest of one Australian man who is now in prison in the US. And I've covered this story before, but it has now emerged as a major story that the ABC has covered on a Four Corners program. And I'll be talking to Leah about the level of, I guess, infiltration of these aberrant, pathologically disturbed forms of human behavior and thinking, the penetration of these into our society at all levels, so that we can really come to grips with it, to understand that we have a problem, a systemic problem in modern society, that there is this kind of pathological vein running through what appears to be a normal, law-abiding people and institutions. There is a thread of completely disturbed behavior and psychological abnormalities, but that are masked. And we'll be talking again about the case of the two pedophiles who acquired a child under the guise of gay marriage, but for the purpose of exploitation, making money, abuse, rape, and taking the small child, very small child, on sex tours around the world to be basically raped by men in various countries. I mean, but bear in mind, we need to understand that the people engaged in this are embedded in our society. They're not fringe rock spiders. They're not just people who look like they're on the fringes of society. They're people just like Peter Truong and his cohort, who appear to be very, very balanced, upstanding members of our society. We need to have a look at it. We need to really try and understand what is going on, folks, because it is an emergency. It is a disaster. I'm going to be talking a little about airplanes and transponders in today's show. The disappearance of flight MH370 has a lot of important parallels to the events of 9/11, and it's a subject that I've studied a bit, the subject of airplanes and transponders, and I wanted to set the record straight in terms of what I know about radar and transponders, because there has been so much disinformation, folks, coming from the mainstream media, and you can see completely different cover stories being put out by different authorities. We can see some sort of conflict between the Malaysian authorities and the American authorities, and they're basically saying one thing, they're completely contradicting themselves, then they're backtracking. What I do know is that they know more than what they're letting on. The question is, what do they know? And the question is, why are they giving such a botched rendition of the story? And of course, the underlying tragedy and all this is a whole lot of people have disappeared and are probably dead. And of course, accidents do happen, and that's part of the risk of flying. But this is increasingly looking less and less like an accident to me. This is looking like some sort of event. And as to what the end game here is anybody's guess. By the time you hear this podcast, it may be all known, it may be all over, but it is possible that that plane has been seized to be used for some sort of terrorist attack. But we will be going into more details on that in the show. I'm also going to be revisiting the question of the bikie laws and the laws against association in Australia when Leah comes on in the next segment to I guess just reinforce and drive home the state of tyranny, the state of state terror that now applies under these jurisdictions where these types of laws are in force. And again, to try and encourage listeners to do something. And, you know, you're most welcome to get in touch with me, and I'm really happy to network with people and do whatever I can. But we're seeing our country basically being eroded right before our very eyes. We're seeing our basic quality of life, our basic institutions being undermined and eroded, our basic freedoms being taken away. And this is going to be an increasing theme in my show. I'm going to really try to build here and build to some sort of crescendo where ultimately we do know what course of action we're going to take, and we start seeing more people spontaneously taking action. Of course, the laws of association of members of outlawed groups recently went into force in Queensland, and there's other laws in South Australia. And these laws are completely tyrannical. They're laws that would be abuse of human rights. But somehow it's gone under the radar. It's like we're all in a fog. You know, it's like the goalposts have been moved, and what was unacceptable a year or two ago has now just become normalized. So, you know, let's have a look down, you know, into the future. What might happen in another 5 years, in another 10 years? I want to revisit the questions about the spying scandal in which Australian Signals Directorate, that is our version of the NSA, was acting on orders from the NSA in the US and the US government to spy on our neighbours for apparently economic gain, and to do it in a way that it is clearly illegal, clearly a breach of the law, would be a breach of the law in our country. To do it in another country, that would seem, it would only compound the criminality involved. And again, you know, we've seen the Prime Minister, Tony Abbott, just shrug it off and just claim that that's fine. We hear him calling Edward Snowden a traitor, and we hear him complaining that the media even talked about this, that the media even dared to raise the fact that our government is breaking all kinds of laws to spy on our neighbours, on high-level members of government, for reasons which have never been made clear, but which appear to be due to economic gain, due to trade wars, due to you know, getting an advantage in negotiations. So we just have this kind of menagerie of evil unfolding. And we will be examining all of these details and more in today's show. Okay, let's return now to the topic of the Malaysian Airlines flight MH370, since that is one of the biggest stories on the planet at the moment. And I want to just briefly recap, and I'll just read here the latest news, and this is as of the 14th of March 2014, folks, so you may already have heard a lot more news about it by the time you get this show, but let's just run through the latest news that has just come out. The search for the missing plane now shifts to the Indian Ocean. The hunt for the missing Malaysia Airlines flight MH370 has shifted to the Indian Ocean, with investigators reportedly looking at the possibility that the plane was deliberately flown well west of its intended flight path. 6 days have now passed since the Boeing 777-200ER, with 239 people on board, disappeared from radar screens en route from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing. The aircraft is still missing, and the search area is expanding, Malaysian Transport Minister Hishamuddin Hussein said. Together with our international partners, we are pushing further east into the South China Sea and further into the Indian Ocean. Now, this is a very interesting development, folks, because there has been an incredible flip-flopping and backtracking from the Malaysian authorities on this. We had a statement earlier in the week from a military man, I believe it was a general, in the Malaysian armed forces, saying that in fact the plane had turned around and had effectively done a 180 degree turn and gone back across the Malay Peninsula. That was then contradicted and completely denied by the Malaysian authorities. Then, just in the last 24 hours, the US authorities have begun releasing information, and you know, it's anyone's guess as to why it is that the Americans now are releasing information that the Malaysians apparently don't have. I tend to not believe any of it. I believe these are all cover stories. But what is now clear is that the cover stories are getting very confused and mixed up. We're just going to break. We'll be right back after this short break to go into this fascinating subject in more detail. Stay with us.
Are you getting fed up with all the disinformation, deception, spin, propaganda, half-truths and downright lies in mainstream news? Looking for something different? Visit Truth News Radio Australia, www.truthnews.com.au, and may the truth set you free.
With Truth News Radio, and welcoming now to the show the incredible Leah Shanley, producer of this show, is joining me for some discussion and reflection. Leah, How is it going?
Well, thanks, Herwood, for that lovely introduction.
Well, yeah, I say the incredible, and I mean that, because you do some amazing work for this show, as well as juggling a whole bunch of other things in your life, and it ain't easy. But people who are trying to make a difference in the world are all face this type of issue where, you know, you sort of have to go a little bit beyond what you're comfortable doing, and I'm certainly doing that at the moment. I'm juggling a bunch of commitments. This is part of the theme of tonight's show, by the way, Leah. I'm actually trying to provoke, to trigger, maybe to transform, and I'm going to try to do this more and more with the show. I want to try and catalyze some change. I would like listeners to feel the stress that we feel doing the show, to understand the pressure that we're all under, because it's difficult to get the show together. But what's even more difficult is living in a society, living in a degraded and a downward sloping trend in history, where things are getting certainly not getting better and are sliding towards something we can't even describe. We don't even really want to describe it.
Mm.
And we need to do something about it. That's like, if there's only just one thing you take from what I'm saying, and I know I'm being very long-winded about it, just take from this that yes, we're all under stress. Yes, we all have difficult pressures in our lives. And we've got to do more. We've got to try and reverse. We've got to try and stop this freight train that's going at, you know, 200 kilometers an hour towards the station, and the brakes have failed. I mean, we've got to try and stop it, right? Because there's this kind of building momentum of tyranny in Australian society, and we see it mirrored in many other countries around the world. But boy, ever do we see it in Australia.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
It is insane. It really is. And I was listening to a program with Max Egan recently, and I think probably a lot of your listeners will be familiar with him to one degree or another. But he was saying exactly the same thing, that, you know, with the bringing in of this new bikey law,
yes,
which I'm just becoming familiar with, that people really do now have to start taking some power back, because before you know it, you're going to be in a jail cell or whatever with no hearing, not even know what you're being charged for. And as a few people have already experienced in Queensland, that very issue. I mean, I was reading about the library assistant who was just having a beer with a boyfriend. And she was arrested. So, I mean, things are really getting out of control, and I think that the law that's been passed in Queensland is perhaps a bit of a tester. You know, we're going to watch and see how this plays out. We're going to watch and see how people react to this.
Let me just read to you a story from Hot Off the Press from March the 14th, 2014. Queensland bikie laws to stay amid Liberal National Party criticism. Queensland's police minister says the state will push on with the controversial anti-bikey laws despite a call from within his own party to have them scrapped. Federal MP George Christensen has asked State Attorney General Jared Bligie to repeal the laws. The Liberal National Party MP for Dawson says the tough laws have gone too far and are damaging the party's brand. Now, for those who aren't familiar with the laws, people who are deemed to be members of these outlawed groups are not allowed to associate in public. And if they do, they can be immediately arrested. They can actually be carted off to prison. And this is exactly what happened a couple of months ago to one man in Brisbane who turned out wasn't even able to ride a motorbike. Like, he doesn't even have a motorbike license. He doesn't ride a bike, but he had some business relationship with someone who was in one of these groups, and he was arrested on the lawn of his own house, basically having a chat with this man. So, and I think there was something going on at that time. They were having a barbecue, or they were having a I think it was a garage sale or something anyway. But anyway, the police were following what was going on, and the police came in and they took this guy in handcuffs. Now, you can probe into it and you might find there are oddities about this guy. Maybe these people aren't shining citizens. Maybe they're not perfect. Of course not. I'm not claiming that either. But, you know, tyrannical laws always start by persecuting minorities, and usually the minorities that they persecute are people that most people don't like.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the thin end of the wedge gets in. I can see
how that happens. Yeah. Because the couple that I have looked at, they've had tattoos, or they've had some kind of an association.
Oh, well, they must be, you know, they had tattoos. Oh, well, that's it, you know.
Yeah.
Send them to prison straight away.
Yeah. I can see how that can happen. There was another story that I was reading, and I wish I could remember the link, and perhaps if I do, you might want to have a read of it, about a lady that was arrested, and they just stormed into her house. She woke up with police at her bed. It was incredible what I was reading, and I thought, I'll have to – it's one of those stories that you read, and you're like, I must get back to that and follow that through, but I never did. I think I put it in my favourite somewhere. But it was just incredible. I couldn't believe what I was reading. I thought, oh, my God.
Yeah.
This could be anybody. I mean, and really, with the law now, shouldn't all the rebels be in jail? Shouldn't they be in jail?
Well, I guess as long as they never associate with each other – as long as they never step out the door and are within arm's length of each other, I don't know. It's ludicrous. The whole thing's ludicrous.
It's insane.
It appears that there's some sort of turf war going on between these gangs and the police, who really are nothing more than another gang, you know, a variety of gangs. And the police around the country are all in bed with different criminal entities. And of course, the police are deeply involved in criminal activities. There's a story that came out recently that was a big one in the news, because the guy who was convicted of abducting and murdering the little boy in Queensland, which was a big story in Australia over the last couple of days, it turned out that the way he was actually caught, and I'm not really saying that this is totally, that I'm totally against it, although I think it's disturbing the techniques the police are using. The way this guy was caught was that the police created a sting operation where they masqueraded as a criminal gang, and because they already had this suspect, Brett Cowan, I believe his name is. He's now in prison. He's been sentenced to 20 years without parole. But, They set up a sting operation where they masqueraded as a criminal gang, and then they invited this guy into their fake criminal gang with the offer that he was going to be able to, you know, join them. But as part of his kind of initiation, he had to tell them some secrets about himself, and then they record him actually admitting to killing the little boy. Now, look, I think it's great that this guy's behind bars, and it does appear that he's guilty, but what you've got to understand is that, again, the police are engaging in very elaborate sting operations to the point where they are actually fully acting out the part of criminal people. Fully, I mean, to catch this guy, they would have had to do this over a period of months. They couldn't have done it quickly. They would have had to be in character, you know, with lots of, you know, extras and lots of people acting these roles. But can you see the danger with that, right? When the police get, and this is what's happened with with terrorism. The police have got so involved in their sting operations that they actually create criminal conspiracies. They concoct them on their own, and they then try and enlist, gullible fringe people off the street with personality disorders who they can then nab and bust.
Mm.
And we're supposed to believe that is crime fighting, whereas really it's some sort of crazed power freak kind of behaviour. We are going to break with Truth News Radio of Australia. We will be right back. Please stay with us. Thank you. Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. And I'm talking to Leah Shanley about all things that are a little bit rotten in the state of Denmark. Leah, before I return back into the various rants that I want to get through in the first hour, could you possibly just give us an idea of what's coming up on Truth News? You've been doing a lot of contacting and a lot of liaising with various guests.
Yeah, sure. We've actually we've got a lot coming up, actually, which is really exciting. We're going to tackle... I want to get right into all of this kind of thing. I'm actually going to chase somebody down about this bikies law as well. That's still on the back burner, but stay tuned for that one. We've got tonight, I think we've got coming up Kevin Arnett. He's looking into some common law issues and crimes between church and state. I think that'll be very interesting, and I wouldn't mind people's opinion on that or what they actually think is happening in that area, but until we've had had him on the show, so we'll just leave that one. But
I haven't actually announced that. I got caught in a rant at the very beginning of the show, and I did not actually announce the fact that the second hour we are having Kevin Arnett on the show to talk about the incredible phenomenon of common law courts, which he has been a major person involved in that, and we're going to explore what the concept of a common law court is. It's going to be very, very interesting. But sorry, back to you, Leah.
Yeah, it should be really interesting. I'm looking forward to it. We're going to be looking at NGOs as well and what roles they're playing across the globe, and we're going to be talking to Professor Francis Boyle from Illinois University. He's also right up on the situation that's happening with Ukraine as well, which is going to be interesting to hear his views on that because they are somewhat different from the mainstream view. We're going to be talking to William Pepper, hopefully in the near future, about 9/11 and the new evidence that's found there. Now, I'm not overly familiar with the latest developments in that area, but I think you've been following that, Harrowwood, have you, the 9/11?
Yes, and William Pepper has been incredibly a huge asset to the 9/11 truth movement because he's so methodical, he's so modest, he doesn't say anything unless he's got something to say. And he's the sort of person who will just quietly work away at one issue or one angle until he achieves a result. And he's done amazing things with solving the crime of the assassination of Martin Luther King, and he actually did uncover very, very important information which has never been properly covered in the media. And I do hope that when we get him on, that we're able to return to that topic, because that was a major focus of his life. He was a young man at the time of Martin Luther King, and I think he knew Dr. King personally. I think there was some connection there, but yes, he did a lot of work and eventually put together a trial. He conducted a trial, and I'm not quite sure how this was done. It wasn't like perhaps a little along the lines of what you were describing there, what we were describing about common law courts. There was a type of trial which was conducted that has found with very, very strong prima facie evidence that the FBI was implicated in the assassination of MLK, and that the man who was convicted of it was basically set up. He may have fired a bullet, but there was another sharp shooter in the crowd who actually fired the kill shot that took out Martin Luther King.
Wow, I didn't know that. That'll be a great interview then if we can get some of that.
We may have to get Dr. Pepper on for a couple of interviews, because that's very, very important topic that he's covered there. The 9/11 question that he's addressed is also incredibly important because he's focused on Building 7, but what he's done is he's uncovered the original building plans of Building 7 and discovered that there's a huge discrepancy between the building plans that were advanced by the NIST, that's the National Institute for Standards and Technology, who did the official report, and the original building plans. The original building plans had extra supporting structures in the blueprints that were missing from the NIST blueprints. And if anyone is familiar with this, will have, probably have a laugh at this point because NIST, in their report concluded that the building came down because due to the fire and because of the overheating of this key column 79, they said there was not enough structural support in the building to hold the building up. And it was just like, oh, goodness gracious me, you know, column 79 was a weak point in this building. And look, here's the designs of the building, folks. And look, gee, it can't hold itself up. That's why it fell down. Well, yes, because those aren't the correct blueprints. You know, building column 79 had extra stiffener plates in there, so that wouldn't have happened.
Look, I shouldn't laugh, but really, it is so obvious that things have gone so askew that I don't think any of us can afford to sit around any longer and just let this go by. You know, I think as people or citizens of whether your country, your community, wherever, pick something.
Yeah.
Pick something and go with it. Because before we know it, we're going to be living in such a tyrannical state. The lies are getting told. The lies are just so big.
Yeah.
And we really have to start sifting through them, creating our own news. Like we have to – what I'm suggesting is stop participating in a system that is not working. So if that means you're watching news or listening to news that isn't correct information, stop listening to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, try and move into something else that, you know, support the people that are trying to provide you with the correct information. If
indeed, and you can support Truth News Australia. We are going to be launching a major fundraising drive shortly. And I guarantee you, if you support us, there will be a benefit, direct benefit, because, you know, I've created a certain infrastructure up to this point, but my major impediment really actually is financial at this point. It really does limit what I can do. So even a small injection of money will make a huge difference to what we can do with this show. But sorry, continue there.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm going to do my very best, at least with what I can inject into the show in terms of getting to the real problems, you know, like the real truth of the matter. Like 9/11, for example, is a key point to this whole tyranny of terrorism and different things. Like everything that's going on now is an extension of that. So, you know, we can bring these issues forward to people so that they can understand, well, you know, hang on, if that's a fraud, then I then have to address the question as to who benefits. And, you know, could the government really, you know, come up with a conspiracy so big and so bad?
Yeah.
And if that's the case, that needs to be addressed in each and every person.
Yeah, you've got to change your behaviour. You have to change your behaviour. That's a very important thing.
I mean, that's why, you know, I'm dedicated, but there's other issues that I really want to tackle for people, like health issues, you know, such as cancer and various different health problems that people are facing.
Yes, and we've got some shows coming up on that. We've got some shows coming up on alternate cancer treatments. And we're certainly going to be looking at the vaccine controversies in Australia in a lot of depth. It's been a while since I've put my attention onto that, but it's a very, very important one because it's about freedom.
Yes. Absolutely,
Leah. You've got a family. You've probably experienced vaccine propaganda. What's your position on a lot of these vaccine questions?
Oh wow! You know, well, when my kids were little, if they weren't vaccinated,
yeah,
then they couldn't go to school or preschool or anything like that. So, I do have quite a few stories. And my son was actually quite sick and he couldn't have vaccines. So I basically had to lie my way through until he was in high school. Yeah, incredible stuff.
Absolutely. And more to come. We're just going to break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia, talking to Leah Shanley, and we're getting into some important Australian news. Don't go away. Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. I'm talking to Leah Shanley, and we're just talking about a whole variety of things. Leah, before you came on, I was actually going through the business about Malaysian Airlines flight MH370, and I would love it if you would ask me about it, because I actually have done a bit of homework on this, but I don't like to come on the show as the as the interviewer, as well as being the, expert. Well, I wouldn't certainly ever call myself an expert, but I don't want to simply come on the show and tell you what I think, but I would love it if you would ask me, and I will give you my opinion.
Right.
Ask away.
Well, okay, here's a question.
Yeah.
If this plane has gone down, would they have been able to track it at that point? So what I'm saying is, when it's disappeared off the radar and they've lost contact with it, should it then be in that radius, in a certain radius of where they lost contact with it? And if not, then what? There's no contact and it's not gone down, how do they lose contact? I guess it's...
Let me just summarize what I know about See, this is a very advanced plane. This is a 777. It's an, it's the latest generation of highly computerized, very advanced technology. The plane is worth about $250 million. I mean, this is an expensive piece of gear, this plane, right? It's bristling with computer technology. The plane communicates with the rest of the world via a number of different mechanisms. And let me just run through what some of them are. The most basic is radar. And radar, of course, is just a pinging, and it basically gives you a blip on a screen. And that is the oldest method of tracking a plane, and that is still used. And, there are radar stations all over the world, and there are very few places a plane can fly without being tracked on radar. And I assure you, the whole of the Gulf of Thailand and the South China Sea and most of the Indian Ocean would be covered by radar. There are two types of radar that are used. One is the standard radar, which pings off an object and will give you a blip on a screen. There is also the transponder radar, which actually triggers a response from this piece of equipment called the transponder, which is on the plane. And the transponder doesn't just give position data. It actually sends back what they call a squawk code. And it's actually like a four-digit number. And that number identifies the plane, and it also identifies the state that the plane's in. If there's any emergency or any problem, the squawk code will normally be set by the pilot if there's some sort of problem. But it doesn't stop there. The plane, of course, obviously has radio transmissions that the pilots can do at any time, so the pilots can send out a mayday call. But the plane also has automated HF frequency radio transmissions, which are sent out automatically by components within the plane. And this is indeed what happened when the Air France plane went down off Brazil. There were automated transmissions that were received that told the air traffic controllers that the plane had essentially gone down, because the instrument readings were off the scale. And, the Air France plane, was not found immediately, there are a lot of inconsistencies and, I believe, deceptions about the Air France accident as well. So it's, I'm not using that as an example of a perfectly explained event, but certainly the question about the flow of information from the plane to the world, there is a lot of different ways the world gets information about a plane, a commercial airliner. And another point to make, and this is very important to understand, right, is that there are thousands of planes in the air at any one time in any airspace, especially in Southeast Asia. I mean, there are planes going all over the place, planes flying crisscross, going from Europe to America to Africa. I mean, they do, like the whole world has just been crisscrossed by these flights. Air traffic control is an extremely important and mission critical activity. It is not a joke, and it is not something that is ever left to the tiniest bit of ambiguity, right? So as soon as a plane deviates from its flight plan, it's an emergency. I mean, normally fighter jets are scrambled. You know, in the US, and of course this was a big issue in 9/11 because the fighter jets were not scrambled when they should have been, right? And this is why it's a topic that I know something about, because of course on 9/11 the aircraft transponders were turned off as well, and we know that, but we don't really know much more about it because we were never given the truth by the 9/11 Commission, but it appears that the transponders were turned off. And the pilot can apparently turn the transponders off or turn them into an inactive state, but there are all these other methods of tracking the plane which still apply. So
So what you're saying is even if they turn them off, they still should have been able to track the plane in some other way, like with the ping method.
Well, it's the job of the air traffic controllers to do that. I mean, the air traffic controller doesn't just say, oh, transponder's been turned off. Oh, well, you know, I guess I'll just go and have my dinner now. You know, it's like, oh, shit, the transponder's turned off, you know. Call the Air Force. You know, it's like it's an emergency, right? Because as soon as that happens, you don't necessarily know where the plane is. You will know from radar pings, but you won't know the altitude because radar doesn't give you the altitude. So it's an immediate emergency. But we had no sense of that with the Malaysian situation. It was like it just slowly unfolded, and it was like 8 hours later before it was like reported as a story. And then they were still kind of saying, oh, we don't really know. And we think it was here. And then some people have said it was there. Initially they said, oh, well, it was off Vietnam. It had gone past Vietnam. Then they said, oh, well, the last we heard from it was Johor Bahru. And, you know, this is impossible. This cannot happen that way. They would have known very clearly what the last contact point was. But beyond that, they wouldn't have just lost contact with it unless it crashed, you see, because they would have been still following it on passive radar. So if the transponder signal was lost, they would still be tracking, and that's their job, right? So they would still be tracking it on radar. So they wouldn't simply not know. That is a complete lie. I stand by that. You know, I think it's just a complete lie that they don't know. They do know. It either crashed or it's been taken somewhere, which they don't want us to know.
But I mean, if it was crashed, surely they would have found it because they would have had an estimation of the location, right, from where the last radar.
Yes, exactly. And they would have had a pretty, you know, tightly defined area to search in. And they would have found some debris by now.
What's the latest on that?
Well, they haven't found anything, and they're now searching in the Indian Ocean. So it's just an example, though, of the degree of disinformation that we get from all sources, and it's why we have to do shows like this. You know, I mean, we obviously don't, we can't shed any light on it, but we can just talk common sense about it. That's all.
Certainly, that's an interesting story.
Yeah, and you know, we'll probably find out more, but what I can tell you is that we often never find out. The Air France disaster that occurred in 2009, that honestly, the official investigation of that crash is ludicrous. They said that the plane at one point was flying nose up at a 45 degree angle, and the pilot and co-pilot didn't realize it. The pilot and co-pilot were disoriented. Like, the things that they've said about that flight beggar your imagination. They just don't make any sense. The Air France flight what they said about it was that there was ice crystals that had interfered with some of the equipment on board the plane, which took the plane off autopilot, and that because the plane was off autopilot, one of the co-pilots then quickly took control of the plane, but he was overcorrecting it, and it started swaying. It's sort of like it was going, like the wings started dipping, and it was like swaying back and forth. And then the whole thing then appeared to be pilot error. That's what they said, is that the pilots just lost control of the aircraft because they didn't know how to fly it. If you actually read the report, that's what they appear to be saying.
I wonder who was on that plane.
Indeed, yeah. These are questions you always wonder.
What about the Iranian Flight 655 that was shot down by the Americans? That was never on the news. That was shocking.
Now, this is the one from a few years ago, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, the Iranian flight that I just mentioned?
Or is this a more recent one? Because I know there was one from...
This was a few years ago. Yeah,
a few years ago,
just,
yes.
The talk about flights just triggered that.
Yes.
Triggered that to come up. It was never mentioned, or they didn't even apologize to the Iranians. Some 300 passengers died on that, that flight.
Look, it's frustrating.
It's insane.
We're just about at the end of the hour, and I haven't even got through the things I wanted to talk to you about. It's a real shame. Just a quick take on the Salvation Army renting out boys to pedophiles. I mean, what do you make of that? There's a story here, and it was a big story in the Royal Commission. Salvation Army rented out boys at Sydney's children's home to pedophiles. I just throw this in so we can just get reminded again of what's happening. You know, folks, we need to take our society back. We need to take our lives back.
These people need to be arrested. You know, like when you sent me this story, I was shocked. I hadn't read this. You know, but it's just becoming more and more common. You know, like with the people that are being abused in the homes through state and church run type places. It's not surprising, but every time you read it, you're surprised.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like...
You know what I mean? Because it's so horrific. It's like pedophilia to me is one of the worst crimes that can be committed. There's lots of bad crimes out there, but it's a true violation of one's spirit.
And it's what it indicates about the fabric of society that worries me. It's like the fact that these people are embedded in our society. They're among us.
In places of trust.
Yeah. And we're going to get into that subject in later shows. Leah, it's been great having you on. And we're going to do this more frequently.
Thanks for having me, Heroin.
Stay tuned for hour two. We've got a very important interview coming up about common law courts. Very, very important material.